Welcome to the Pooch Parenting Podcast, a podcast for parents with dogs. I'm Michelle Stern, a certified professional dog trainer, mom, and former teacher. Living with kids and dogs at the same time can feel like a circus. I know because I lived it too. Join us as we interview a variety of experts and parents to discuss topics that will make parenting with dogs easier, safer, and less chaotic. Also, you can love living with your dog again. I'll always keep it real, which might even mean that you hear the messiness of life in the background on occasion, but at least you know you're not alone. If you've been a listener for a while, you might remember that I founded and ran a cooking school for children for 8 years. And the reason that I'm telling you this is that some of you will notice that in the workbooks and handouts that I often provide to my clients come in the format of recipes. And that's because recipes are easy to follow. They're written in a language that's comfortable for most people, and they are easy on the eyes. And I wanted to let you know about a new free guide that I just made and is hot off the presses, so to speak, even though it's digital. And this guide is called 5 Essential Steps to Prepare Your Dog for New Baby. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what is included in this guide. So you can go ahead, I'll provide the link where you can download the visual of it if you would like to have your own PDF copy. But I want to go over the content from this guide here in this podcast for those of you who like to learn on the go. I don't know about you, but my time is precious, and I often listen to podcasts while I'm walking my dogs. And you might be the same. And so I wanted to share these 5 essentials that will hopefully make your life easier if you are expecting, if you're adopting, or if you are using a surrogate to grow your family. And honestly, even if you're just thinking about growing your family, this guide is super helpful, as is the content that I'm going to share with you right now. So let's dive in. I want to start with the first one, which is to use positive reinforcement training with your dog. This might seem really obvious for those of you who know where I'm coming from. I really believe strongly that kids and dogs both learn when you reward things that you want repeated. The science supports this as well. At the end of the day, though, every parent-to-be wants their dog to behave politely around their new baby. But you have to remember this is a very exciting transition for dogs, and good behavior takes practice, especially with something as distracting as a new baby in the house. So if you're using positive reinforcement training with your dog, you can build pleasant associations with good behavior for a variety of things. So it's important to remember that babies are distracting, they're loud, they're smelly, they eventually start moving around. So if your dog is a herding breed, for example, then the visual trigger of your child dashing all over the house can be tempting for your dog to chase them or be distracted by them and maybe pay a little bit less attention to you in the meantime. And we also want to help our dogs learn to be in certain places at certain times. So for example, if you're trying to breastfeed your baby, the last thing you want is for your dog to be jumping up and booping the baby or knocking your boob out of your baby's mouth, for example. These are hard things to learn both for parents and for dogs. And so we need to be really sensitive about that. Another thing to think about is that your dog may bark, and your dog might bark out the window at sights or sounds. They might jump on visitors. But when your baby is coming soon, you need to kind of temper your nerves about these kinds of concerns. And so we need to think about why your dog is doing what they're doing, and we need to ask them to do something different instead. Positive reinforcement, of course, comes into play with this, because if we want to ask our dog for an alternate behavior, we need to reward them when they do it. There's a lot of management, of course, that we can do to prevent some of the barking. But if we do notice that the dog is obsessing on something out the window, we could ask them to go lay on their bed and then reward them for doing so. Another example is if your dog keeps jumping up to try to get a look at baby, we want to ask them to put all 4 feet on the floor. So you can teach this very easily by dropping treats on the floor, for example, before the dog jumps up, so that their nose is redirected to the floor and they jump less. It's also great to practice having people come to the door, because when you have a new baby, you're going to have more visitors than usual, and this can be really stressful and difficult for your dog. Next up on the five essentials is to set up a safe haven for your dog. So what do I mean by this? Well, it really helps some dogs to have a special spot in the house where they can go when they're feeling nervous, when they're feeling overwhelmed, when they're feeling anxious, or when they're feeling overexcited. So it is crucial that your dog learns to be comfortable behind a barrier. Now, this isn't punishment. We're not putting your dog in jail. We want this to be a safe place for your dog and give them a sense of security, which will allow you to keep your dog and baby separated as needed. Now, I've got to warn you, this is not a quick fix, and I get a lot of clients who get pretty frustrated that they can't just put their dog in a pen or behind a baby gate and right away have them be comfortable. This takes practice. But one of my clients just messaged me today and said, you know what, we had a huge win. I got 30 minutes of peace because we did practice. And I was frustrated at the steps I had to take to get my dog and baby situated in separate spaces, but it ended up being totally worth it. So this is a good message for you that you need to stick with it. You need to start as early as possible and practice this kind of thing. One of the things that I love to do with my private clients and my Pause to Pacifier students is we love to evaluate their home and figure out where good safe spaces would be. Sometimes you're not able to see good spots in your house the way that I am with fresh eyes because you're used to using your space in a certain way. But I can come in with a fresh perspective and I can get a little video tour from around your house and I can say, aha, this would be a great place for your dog to hang out where they can feel included, but also retreat and not have to worry that it's their responsibility to let you know that the baby's crying or to even hide if the baby starts to roll towards them, for example. So we've got to figure out our space, set it up, practice, and we can then add, you know, more distractions and complications to really see if we can get the behavior to be super solid. Third on the list of essentials to teach your dog to get them ready for your new baby is to help them become familiar with baby sounds and baby equipment. Now, notice I did not say get them familiar with baby smells. This is a giant myth, and I want to just start off and bust that myth right out the gate. So many people who aren't very familiar with real dog behavior often tell you to bring home a baby item from the hospital for your dog to smell. And that's going to smell like hospital. It might smell a little bit like your baby, but it's also going to smell like the nurses and the doctors and the disinfectant and all kinds of other things that happen at the hospital. Your dog might find that really unpleasant. And you're asking them to identify the baby smell out of all of those other smells. And I have news for you. When you come home from the hospital to either visit your dog or let them out to go potty, or even just to come home and you go in the house and say hi to your dog before the baby even comes in, you are going to smell like baby. So personally, I would not go to the effort of bringing home an item for your dog to sniff. Plus, you have to realize that just sniffing an object doesn't mean your dog is going to like the smell of that object. And it goes way deeper than that. And I do talk about that myth further in my Pause to Pacifiers group class program that I offer 3 times a year. This could actually be a dangerous practice, and a lot of people share this as a super common myth, and I don't want you to fall into that trap. But what I do want to have you focus on is that babies come with a whole new set of sounds and equipment. And to help your dog become familiar and comfortable with those new stimuli, it is best to gradually introduce them to baby-related recordings and baby gear such as strollers and bouncy seats, especially things that move. Because by practicing these ahead of time, you can ensure that you have a smoother transition when your baby comes home. Now remember, when you're introducing your dog to new items, especially for our sensitive dogs, we need to start slow. We can start with these items from the other side of the room, for example. and gradually build up in difficulty. So keep in mind, some dogs love to chase things, and we need to be extra sensitive of that. We never want your dog tempted to chase something, especially if that contains your baby. And another thing to practice with is pushing an empty stroller while you're walking your dog. I want this to be so fluent for you and easy to manage, because at the end of the day, if you are walking your dog next to your stroller and the leash gets tangled up in the wheels, or your dog lunges and chases at a squirrel or another dog, that could be really dangerous. So this is something that you need to practice ahead of time. Step 4 of preparing your dog for new baby includes shifting your dog's routine. So dogs love predictable routines, but once baby arrives, your schedule is going to likely be variable every day, because your baby might need you. Maybe you're feeding them or changing a diaper or soothing them if they're upset. And you can't always explain to your dog, sorry, the baby comes first, especially if your dog is one of those sensitive dogs who has a really difficult time with changes in their schedule, even by a few minutes. And many of us experience this when daylight savings time happens, for example, where they wake up earlier or later than usual, they're demanding of their meals at totally weird times of the day. And so it helps to shift your routine a little bit consistently so that they're more flexible when you may need to delay certain things that your dog expects, such as when they exercise or when playtime is. So it also just really helps to think about shifting things a few minutes earlier or later on a regular basis, just to kind of make that your dog's new normal. And while you're shifting some of these things, I'd like you to also practice walking your dog in different ways. So for example, you can practice wearing a hands-free leash across your body, because that's going to be a little bit different. It's not necessarily a routine thing, but it may impact how the walk feels. So all of these things that are typically predictable for your dog need to be mixed up a little bit so that they can get used to the variation that is going to be part of their life when they're living with a newborn. And the final step of preparing your dog for new baby includes really honing in on your safety and management strategies ahead of time. I know this seems kind of extra to many of you, but honestly, the last thing you want is for your dog to make a mistake that you can't take back. You know, your baby is vulnerable and the risk is high. And so I really want you to spend a lot of time and energy on coming up with plans of who goes where and when, and getting your dog comfortable behind a barrier, like I mentioned earlier. So it's really important managing interactions between the two of them. It'll also help you to help them to develop a positive relationship together. And new barriers, using physical barriers like I talked about earlier, will help new parents become successful, right, at keeping their baby safe, because you need to pee and you need to function and fold laundry and all of those things. And you can't just leave your baby and dog together in the same room or together on the floor. And we need to practice this kind of separation ahead of time. So this is stuff that you really need to think very hard about. And I love helping parents with this, because it can seem really daunting and overwhelming, but it is doable no matter what your floor plan is. I have worked with clients who've lived in RVs, and I've worked with clients who live in mansions, you know, many, many, many thousands of square foot homes with open floor plans. And I promise you, there are management strategies that work in every space, with every aesthetic. Even if you work with an interior decorator to make your house look beautiful, we can do this together so that it is tolerable to you while also giving you a ton of peace of mind. So I just want to acknowledge it can feel impossible and overwhelming, but barriers like gates and pens will allow you to breathe easier and do all of these daily tasks. So we can use pens around your dog, or we can use pens around your baby. And we also need to think about safe sleep. Not something I dive into very deeply in Pause to Pacifiers and when I work one-on-one with clients, because it is really important. And some people have really strong feelings about wanting to keep their dog in their bed, and that's fine. And we will come up with other ways to keep your baby safe if your dog has to sleep in your bed. But we do need to work on this together because we can't have a loose dog in the same room as a baby when you're all sleeping. Because if you're sleeping, you're not supervising. And what do I mean by supervising anyway? Well, it's a very long thing that we could talk about, but the short version of it is you need to be paying attention with your whole attention, your eyes on your dog and baby. Ideally, you're sitting in between your dog and baby to prevent anything from going south. So even though you're in the room, that's not enough. You can't be checking your phone or folding laundry or making dinner. You need to ensure that there are management strategies in place and safety strategies to prevent access when you turn your back even for a second. So I know it seems like a lot, but you've got me now, and I'm here for you if you need it. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Pooch Parenting Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe on your favorite podcast player and leave a review. But even better yet, tell a friend. Are you in some moms groups, perhaps? Or maybe you're friendly with your pediatrician. Please let them know that resources like this exist, because the information that I share with my people goes beyond what most baby books offer, and a lot of parents need support. You'd be doing them a favor. Thanks again. Have a great day.